From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the president is promising Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer a showdown over the border.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud, and I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security.
Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert is here later in the program with the latest on the president's promise to shut down the government if Congress does not fund border security. We'll also get a report from Tyler O'Neill with PJ Media on today's House Judiciary Committee hearing with Google CEO Sundar Pichai, where he was pressed by members over Google's relationship with the anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center. Also, I just returned from the White House, where I joined a handful of others in the Oval Office as President Trump signed the Iraq and Syria Genocide Relief and Accountability Act into law. The lead author of the bill, New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith, joins me a little later here on Washington Watch. And parents are pushing back against school districts that are refusing to show them what they're teaching their children in the classroom when it comes to sex education that promotes homosexuality and transgenderism. The latest example being in La Quinta, California. We'll talk with Meg Kilgannon, Executive Director of Concerned Parents and Educators. That and more coming up on this edition of Washington Watch. Let me remind you, as we come to the end of the year, I want to encourage you to consider, prayerfully consider partnering with the Family Research Council that we can continue to bring you Washington Watch and to be your voice here in Washington, D.C. Right now, we have a challenge match from some generous donors of $500,000. So anything that you give up to $500,000, if you want to give $1 million, it can't match at all. But if you give up to $500,000, they will match dollar for dollar. So your $100 contribution can be turned into $200. We have folks standing by to take your call. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008, or you can visit us online, frc.org/2018, or go to tonyperkins.com, follow links over. But got folks waiting to talk to you, 800-225-4008. This program is made possible by folks like you all across this nation that care deeply about our nation, but just as passionately about our faith and our families, so that we can preserve the freedom for yet another generation. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. All right, earlier today, multiple Republican congressmen ripped into Google for listing the far-left Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, as a trusted flagger on its platform, YouTube. Now, you talk about the fox watching the hen house. Well, Congressman Mike Johnson of Louisiana was one of them. Another Representative Louie Gohmert of Texas, who will be with us later, went after Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, for trusting organizations like the Southern Poverty Law Center that brands conservatives and Christian groups hate groups, right alongside organizations like the Ku Klux Klan. Here's what Louie Gohmert had to say in that hearing.
The Southern Poverty Law Center really has stirred up more hate than about any other group I know. They stirred up one guy to the point that he went to the Family Research Council, and I know those people, and they're Christians, and they believe, and I believe, that Christianity is really more based on love than about any other religion in history. God so loved the world, he sent his son. His son so loved the world, he gave his life. And yet they stirred up hate against the Family Research Center, and a guy goes in shooting.
Joining us now is Tyler O'Neill, assistant editor of PJ Media, who has been covering the Google hearing. Tyler, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Pleasure to be here.
All right. What did we learn today in today's hearing, other than obviously they are hanging out with some far-left groups when it comes to who is gauging what material is appropriate for their platforms?
Well, we didn't actually learn a lot. Sundar Pichai kept denying any evidence that Google has been discriminating against conservative and Christian groups, but are conservative and Christian voices on the platform, or censoring their speech. And this goes against, you know, what our allies have documented, years and years of consistent censorship. But I think the SPLC bit was very telling. You had the CEO of Google admit that he considers the Southern Poverty Law Center a trusted flagger. And what that means is that this group that lists mainstream conservative and Christian groups as hate groups, like you mentioned, along with the KKK, is relied upon to determine what kind of speech should and shouldn't be on YouTube. And they don't allow the SPLC to knock people off of YouTube, but if the SPLC flags something, they'll take it down and then they'll look at it to see if it goes back up. So they're giving them quite a lot of leeway that the SPLC really doesn't deserve.
I mean, this would almost be like in a football game where you've got the referees on the field and one team actually has an assistant to the referee that is helping them make the calls of penalties on the other team. I mean, that's what SPLC is. SPLC is a liberal advocacy group that advocates for policies that most conservatives stand against. But at the same time, they want to be the arbiter of who has access to the platforms to have these debates.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And another point that Gohmert brought up, which was really important, was that the Southern Poverty Law Center paid out $3.37 million to Majid Nawaz, who's, you know, not a Christian. He's a Muslim. He's a moderate Muslim standing against radical Islamic terrorism. But they called him an anti-Islamic extremist, and they had to pay a defamation settlement to him. Well, after that, 60 organizations, and I believe you guys were one of them, have been considering their own separate defamation lawsuits against the SPLC, but they keep pushing. I mean, they have this Change the Terms campaign they launched in October. And the thing that always gets me the most is when they attack the Ruth Institute, which is a small Roman Catholic group, a nonprofit. Right. The Ruth Institute, they said, was a hate group because it cited the Catechism of the Catholic Church on sexuality issues. And I mean, I'm not a Catholic, but I understand the Catholic position on that. And technically, if you're a Roman Catholic, you don't agree with the SPLC's LGBT agenda. But they think that the Catechism, which is the document that Catholics have to follow, is hateful, which means that 1 billion people across the world belong to a religion that the SPLC thinks is hateful. So Google has a lot to answer for in relying on them.
Well, Tyler O'Neill, was there any sense that Pichai was in any way taken aback by the pressing in of members over their relationship with SPLC? Or, as Congressman Gohmert said, are they simply blind to their own liberal bias?
I think Gohmert was right on the money there. What we've seen with a lot of these big tech companies, if you look at where their employees give money, it's very firmly on the Democratic side. And we saw consistent denials over and over again. I think one of the most telling times today was when Jim Jordan pressed Sundar Pichai over the email where it was revealed that Google had this push to increase Latino turnout in the 2016 election in quote-unquote key states where they thought Hillary Clinton would benefit from Latino turnout. And he denied flatly over and over again that this was true. And Jim Jordan, he just continued to press it, and you could see Pichai struggling and squirming as he was confronted with the truth and just unable, utterly unable to deny it.
So Tyler, where does this lead? I know Mike Johnson, Congressman Johnson from Louisiana, opened his comments by saying, look, we're conservatives. We don't want government regulation, but we got to make sure there's fairness out here. It doesn't sound like much was accomplished in terms of getting Google to come to an understanding that they've got to be more even-handed in the way they regulate the searches on Google and allow access to their platform.
Yeah, so there are a lot of different strategies that people are considering. A lot of state AGs have pushed the idea of using antitrust law against these massive tech companies. But I think Jerry Johnson over at National Religious Broadcasters had a better strategy. He has set a deadline for the CEOs of Apple, Facebook, Google, and Twitter that if they don't stop their censorship of conservative and Christian viewpoints by the end of the year, he's going to push Congress to change Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which kind of gives these companies some leeway. They're not held legally liable for the speech on their platforms. But Johnson said that the NRB will be pushing to change that. Ultimately, the biggest thing that we can do is support ways to monitor, I think, these platforms. I've been speaking a lot with Dr. Robert Epstein, and he has this wonderful – he's a PhD psychologist. He's long studied search engine manipulation effect and what these companies can do. And he has a broad-based, really global effort he's building to monitor – to constantly grab the data from what these companies are giving people and make sure that they can't get away with giving different results and trying to skew public opinion.
So it's more of a kind of a watchdog oversight?
Yeah. So the idea is that tech should be watching tech. So it's not a government program because government's right. always going to be three steps behind these guys. But if you can have a good tech-based system to keep an eye on these tech giants, that's the goal.
At what point, Tyler, do consumers say, you know what, and I'm already kind of seeing this with Twitter, where more and more conservatives seem to be pulling off of Twitter. Is that a possibility, that pressure by consumers?
So... yes, that's always, I mean, effectively, that's the boycott strategy, right? And boycotts can work, but usually they don't, because there is still enough demand for the product that even though a whole bunch of users and consumers don't want to actually keep on with the company, they still need to. You see a lot of conservatives still on Twitter, and...
right.
Google is essentially everywhere. So,
well, certainly something to be watching. We will continue to do so. Tyler O'Neill, thank you so much for joining us. Very, very insightful. Look forward to having you back on again.
Thanks, Tony.
All right. Tyler O'Neill, assistant editor of PJ Media. All right. Coming up next, I was at the White House just a little bit ago, where President Trump signed into law the Iraq and Syria Genocide Emergency Relief and Accountability Act. Coming up next, the lead author of the bill, New Jersey Congressman Chris Smith, joins us. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008. Or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008. and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We are inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a STAN member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Merry Christmas. So glad to have you along on this Tuesday afternoon. Let me remind you of the phone number, 800-225-4008, if you would like to partner with the Family Research Council so Washington Watch can continue to go out across the airwaves of America, where we bring you the newsmakers. All those issues that pertain to faith, family, and freedom right here, unfiltered, uncensored by big media and social media. Right here, you hear it. But it only happens because folks like you across the nation are willing to partner with us. And we have a challenge match that right now, everything you give will be doubled. That's right. $20 becomes $40. $50 becomes $100. $100, $200. We got folks standing by to take your call right now, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Okay. About an hour ago, I was at the White House in the Oval Office with a handful of other advocates for religious freedom and members of Congress as the president signed into law a piece of legislation that has been years in the making. It was a critical piece of work that brings hope and literally tangible help to Christians, Yazidis, and others in Iraq who were being targeted by ISIS. And joining us now is the lead author of this bill, who has been driving this for over 2 years, I think it goes back 3 years to make this happen. Congressman Chris Smith of New Jersey's 4th Congressional District, a champion for the persecuted and, I should add, for the unborn. Congressman Chris Smith, again, congratulations on the president signing your bill into law.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And it was great being with you at the White House. You know, you, again, play a great and critical role in protecting Christians from this horrific genocide that has claimed the lives of tens of thousands. And these are the survivors. And of course, as you know, we're trying to provide recovery aid, stabilization, humanitarian aid. And under the Obama administration, they wouldn't do it. And now Trump, with this legislation and also some initiatives on his own, is doing it.
Right. Just to put this in perspective, right now less than 200,000 Christians remain in Iraq. That's down from 1.4 million in 2002. And in 2013, before ISIS swept in, there was 500,000 in the region. I mean, we're just seeing these people driven out. And this is critical that they come back into Iraq in order to provide stability in that region of the world, which is, you and Congressman Frank Wolf have described as the cradle of Christianity.
And it is, as you so aptly pointed out. And they do want to go back, but they want to go back safely. I mean, the Nineveh Plain and other places where they have been there for almost two millennium.
Right.
They want to go back to their ancestral homelands and thrive. But the damage done by ISIS, just about anyone you would meet who is in any of the camps or as part of this recovery effort have lost not just one, but often many members of their family through the genocide of ISIS. So, we are trying to make sure that we have a comprehensive plan to reintegrate these folks back to where they want to go, and that's their homeland. And for those who want to stay in and around Erbil, which is even more protected, to thrive, they need help. And today's bill, now law, will help to do that.
Yeah, and as you said, this provides that the government can partner with those entities that are already on the ground doing the work, these faith-based organizations, which are there doing great work. They have a commitment to that area. The people trust them. So this will just kind of fuel the effort that's already underway. We lose track of time in the city. I said it was 2 years, 3 years. Actually, it may have been longer. How long have you been working on this to get this through Congress?
Well, on the actual bill, it's been over 2 years. I introduced it in September 2 years ago. It took about 6 months to get it out of the House, and then it languished in the United States Senate for a year and a half. We could not get movement on it. And before that, we tried, and I chaired 10 congressional hearings at which Obama administration high officials would come before my panel, and I would push them, appeal to them, pressure them to the best of my ability to help this disadvantaged group of Christians and Yazidis. The estimates are that there were at least 70,000 Christians in the Erbil region of Iraq, and they were not getting any help whatsoever from the U.S. government. I got led down this idea that, well, we're looking into it. And then after 3 years of hearing that false narrative, introduced the legislation, and 2 years later it became law.
And to make this very clear, Congressman Smith, elections have consequences, and having people like you, obviously, in Congress that are passionate about this, and I congratulate you on your victory, your reelection to Congress. But this administration, juxtaposed to the previous administration, is a night and day difference when it comes to religious freedom and the defense of the persecuted.
There's no doubt about that, and I can prove it with the multiple hearings that I actually chaired as chairman of the Human Rights Committee, of the Foreign Affairs Committee. This administration, until Rabbi Saperstein, who did do a good job, but for several years during the Obama administration, they didn't even name countries of particular concern pursuant to the International Religious Freedom Act. So they allowed, countries that were doing egregious things to people of faith to just not get any focus whatsoever. They would not get on this list, which means that they could be sanctioned. This administration, and just today, as you know, Sam Brownback announced the new countries of particular concern.
Right.
And so there's a very robust effort on the part of this administration, the Trump administration, to promote religious freedom. Was not there for 8 years under the previous.
And we're going to take full advantage of this for an administration that cares about this issue. And I know it's a breath of fresh air for you. Congressman Chris Smith, we're out of time. I would love to be able to talk with you about China, because that's a problem region, a problem country as well. But we're out of time. Again, congratulations on
the success of this. Thank you, Tony. Thank you for your extraordinary work, too, on religious freedom. It's tremendous.
Well, you're welcome. And Merry Christmas to you. Congressman Chris Smith. a great hero. All right, don't go away. Parents pushing back against radical sex ed curriculum in California. That's next. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Merry Christmas. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Still to come, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert's going to talk with us about the pending showdown over border security. That's still to come. Also, folks standing by to take your phone call, if you would like to partner with the Family Research Council as we approach the end of the year, they'll take your call. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. We've got a matching challenge out there, a challenge match, where everything you give between now and the end of the year will be doubled. And that means $50 becomes $100, $500 becomes $1,000, $10 becomes $20. Whatever you can give to partner with us to ensure that Washington Watch continues, give us a call, 800-225-4008. Okay, hundreds of parents are not happy about AB 329 in California that mandates sexual education be taught to students once in middle school, once in high school. Now, this came to a head with a meeting about the curriculum at Desert Sands Unified School District in La Quinta, California. Now, district administrators spent more than 2 hours explaining the changes to angry parents, several of them whom asked to see the lessons and teaching materials in full. They wanted to know, what are you telling our kids? What are you teaching them? Well, the district has refused to do so. Joining us now is Meg Kilgannon. She's the executive director of Concerned Parents and Educators of Fairfax County, Virginia, who has been through a similar battle, a mom of public school children of her own. She is seeing this trend move out all across the nation. Meg, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you so much for having me on, and thank you for talking about this issue. It's an incredibly important issue to talk about.
It's spreading across the country, and what irritates me so much about it is, well, two things. One, the content is over the top, but to deny parents the right to see this material is beyond comprehension.
It's a classic move on the part of education bureaucrats who want to push an agenda, an adult agenda, onto school children. And they do it, you know, behind parents' backs without disclosing the information. I read in the article that the school district has offered to have some information sessions where they will discuss the material with parents. And that, frankly, is a good start, but that's never good enough, because when they have those kinds of sessions, they like to talk about lesson objective and important themes of the lessons. But what the parents need to see are the lesson plans themselves. What is the nitty-gritty that they are going to be telling your kids in these classes? Because while an objective may say we support marriage and that's a wonderful thing, the rest of the lesson might include material that's not at all about marriage.
Well, in this kind of cloak of secrecy is the typical mode of operation. I mean, this is kind of how they operate. And to me, it's arrogance, because these educators are saying, you know, number one, we know better than you do what your kids need to hear. And this is to me, a complete violation of parental rights.
It absolutely is. It's substituting one set of values, the values of the day, for the set of values of parents. Now, it may be that there are people in that school district who are perfectly fine with these lessons, and if that's the case, good for them. But the fact is, public schools are for everyone. They are for everyone, and that means that you can't insult my values just because you don't share them.
They need to let you know as a parent. I mean, it's your tax dollars
that are funding these
schools, and it's your children that are being subjected to this information. You have every right as a parent to know that. How do parents stand up to these school officials, who oftentimes are intimidating? How do they do that? What's the best way to go about that?
There are several ways to do that. One is to attend the meetings, and that's a very difficult thing for a lot of parents, because most parents are two-income families. Mom and dad are working every day to take care of the family, and then at night when they have meetings like this one, they don't want to go out. That's the time they have with their kids. They don't want to go to a school board meeting. But you need to get together and have a team of parents and take turns going to these meetings and reporting back to everybody else, so that you can have an idea of what's going on in the school. And so the school board and the school officials know that you are an engaged parent and you're watching what's happening. And the next thing parents can do is demand to see the full lesson plan. The school district is giving something to the teachers, and the teachers are going to teach it to your children. What is it that they're giving to the teachers? What exactly is the script that they are supposed to follow when they teach this material? We all want our kids to be healthy physically, mentally, spiritually, sexually, and parents have every right to know exactly what is going to be taught in this area.
And I would add one other thing, Meg. I think some parents out there need to consider running for school boards to make sure that these educators are held accountable.
That is absolutely the case. When you have a school board, like, for example, in West Point, Virginia, that just voted 5-0 to deny a teacher his right to free speech, that is absolutely a school board that needs to be taken over by parents, and a school system that needs to be run differently. And that's
absolutely
the case in many, many school systems across the country. If you went to school, you graduated, you're taking care of your kids, you can run the school system too.
Meg Kilgannon, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for sounding the alarm with what's happening in our schools across America.
Thank you. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Same to you. Merry Christmas. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Texas Congressman Louie Gohmert is here with the pending showdown between the president and Nancy Pelosi.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC Stand member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So become an FRC Stand member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stand. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Just 14 days until Christmas. Hope you're getting ready. This is Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. The website is tonyperkins.com. And let me remind you, as we go into this last segment, still have folks standing by to take your phone calls if you would like to partner with the Family Research Council to ensure that Washington Watch continues to go out across America. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. Everything that you give between now and the end of the year will be doubled. So take advantage of that. Give us a call, 800-225-4008. Okay, earlier today, the president met with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer to discuss the funding, remaining funding bills. We talked about this yesterday. The Homeland Security funding bill, which he once included $5 billion for the wall. Chuck Schumer says not going to happen. This is what the president had to say when they were in his presence in front of the media earlier today.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely.
Fair enough.
And
we
I am
disagree.
Proud. And I'll
we
tell
disagree.
You what. I am proud to shut down the government for border security.
I was in the Oval Office, as I mentioned earlier. Or actually after that, for the signing of the bill that we just talked about with Chris Smith. And he was asked, the media was in there, and he was asked how the meeting went. The media was in there for the first part of the meeting where those fireworks took place. He said, it turned out being a fairly good meeting, all things considered. But he said it was clearly communicated that we want to fund border security. Joining us now is Congressman Louie Gohmert. He represents the 1st Congressional District of Texas. He serves on the House Judiciary Committee. We heard earlier he was a part of the hearing today with Google CEO, but he's also a member of the House Freedom Caucus, which is saying we need to fund border security. Louie, welcome back to Washington Watch. Oh, let's see if we got him there. Louie? We may have lost him. We'll see if we can get him back on here. The the message, as I was talking to members while I was up at the White House, they are determined to stand with the president to make sure that the border security is funded. I think we have him now. Congressman Gohmert, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. And you did have me, but my cheek, my face cheek, pushed mute.
Well, good. I'm glad it wasn't a pocket dial. Okay.
Yes.
Let's talk border security. The president,
yes.
The president seems determined that Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Democrats are going to go along with the Republicans and provide the funding for border security, or he's not going to sign these remaining appropriations bills.
Well, actually, Nancy doesn't have to go along with it. We ought to be able to pass it in the House. Unfortunately, somebody has told the president, gee, there's no sense passing it in the House if we don't have the votes in the Senate. And currently, they probably don't have the votes in the Senate. But the way many times throughout our history you get the votes in the Senate is you pass it in the House. You have a president that supports the bill. He starts calling senators and the House members that voted for it go out publicly, all start doing press, and you put the pressure on the Senate to pass it. Until we pass it in the House, the Senate feels no pressure whatsoever. And, the president ran on it. We kept a majority based on building a wall and securing our border. And Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, Harry Reid, Obama, all of them in their time have said how critically important it is to secure the border where we control our sovereignty. And you probably saw in the news yesterday, supposedly 153 million people are wanting to migrate into the United States right now. If they do, without being properly educated on how to cheat a self-government, then you lose it. And then nobody will want to come. So it's very, very important that we preserve our sovereignty so that we can be that light on the hill that's not put under a basket.
And this president, it just does not seem to be intimidated by,
no.
I remember, over the 15 years I've been here where we've come up to these, most of the time it's been continuing resolutions. And there's
right.
been fear, oh, we don't want to be blamed with a government shutdown. I mean, the president is just embracing it, saying, okay, if that's what you want, I'll shut down the government. I'll own it if it's a matter of border security because this is in the national interest. He's not running from it.
No, he's not, and I love that he is just saying, hey, this is what we promised. We're going to deliver, even if it means shutting down the government. We've been told conventional wisdom is, whoever shuts down the government loses next election. But if you look at 2013, we did pretty good in 2014. 2013, there was a shutdown.
Right.
And even though that was totally the Senate Democrats to blame, we were passing stuff, just doing everything we could to avoid a shutdown. And they wanted a shutdown. And the media conveniently blamed it on us. But we really didn't turn out that we suffered at all. And if you go back to the 90s, old people talk about how terrible the shutdown was back then, but the Republicans were not hurt after the shutdown. So I appreciate a president standing his ground. He's not following the conventional wisdom about avoiding responsibility for a shutdown, because I think he understands the voters, at least a majority of them, if you're not on the fringes of America, majority of Americans want our border secure. They want to feel secure in their homes and in their businesses, and that's where it's got to start.
Yeah, and Congressman Gohmert, I think, despite all this other stuff that's whirling around there, the continuing beating the drumbeat of the Russia collusion, and they've got a new drum to beat with Cohen's, confession or comments. But you know what? The president's approval rating remains basically unmoved at about 50%. That's where it has been, which is actually high considered previous administrations. It's because he doesn't yield to the political pressure. He's doing, number one, what he said he was going to do, but that's not the only reason. It's because he's doing what needs to be done, and most Americans with common sense understand if we don't have a secure border, we're not a country.
And that's so true. And you and I have been friends for many years, and we've talked privately about it in past years. But I would submit that really President Trump is the thing that stands between all-out Christian persecution in the United States. And I would like to see him continue doing what he is.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate the fact that the Freedom Caucus is standing with the president on this, and it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Congressman Louie Gohmert, as always, great to have you on the program, and
great
I don't see you before.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas. Appreciate so much all of your fans.
All right. Congressman Louie Gohmert of the 1st Congressional District of Texas, a real champion for faith, family, and freedom. I will say again, the president is determined to do, you know, it's not just what he said he was going to do, but he said it for a reason. And we must have border security. Now, people want to say, well, we've got to have comprehensive immigration reform. We do. We absolutely do. And I am one of the ones that is saying that. But we got to start with securing the border. And this would be a great place to do it. The president, look, we talked about this yesterday. 75% of the government, 70% is already funded with the other appropriations bills. This, if the government shuts down, it's only going to be in the minds of the media. The effect of this will be felt by very few. But I think it sends a very strong message to Nancy Pelosi, the incoming Speaker of the House in the 116th Congress, as she presumably, I mean, it's not a done deal yet, but it appears that she will be the Speaker. I think this president, unlike any other Republican leader that I have seen, he does know how to negotiate, and he basically is setting the terms, and this is a part of it. And this is very important because I was actually talking with Congressman Smith up at the White House today. About a number of members of Congress have signed on to a letter to the president. And we'll talk about this when it becomes public. I guess I'm making it public, but don't tell anybody, okay? And that is that asking the president to make a commitment up front that he'll veto anything that comes through Congress that would jeopardize the Hyde Amendment or would in any form or fashion lead to taxpayer funding of abortion. Now, this is what Nancy Pelosi and crew are going to do. You look at their top 10 list of what they want to accomplish, and it's going to be basically to undo many of the things that the Republicans have done. Now, granted, they haven't done a whole lot, but what they have done, and remember, they've been in the majority for 8 years, we have preserved and expanded a number of the pro-life riders. Now, because we haven't done appropriations bills for up until just recently, that's where a lot of the policy has been. That's where you get the riders. You have a bill and you put riders on it, and those have to be done annually. Well, the CRs, continuing resolution, just continues funding from one year to the next. Well, what's happened is that, you know, going back to the Obama years, most every year was done by a CR, just a continuing resolution. But that advance that continued the riders from the previous year, and that's where a lot of the pro-life language restricting funds for abortion are on those riders. Here's the concern. Nancy Pelosi and crew are going to be advancing their, you know, just like Obama did, their radical social policy, and they'll be doing it through the appropriations bills. They'll send that over to the Senate. And unfortunately, the Senate doesn't have as many men and women of conviction as we have in the House. Now, there are some. I mean, we've got some good ones. We've got, James Lankford. We've got I mean, there's good ones. You got Jim Inhofe, who's on the program a lot. We got Ben Sasse is good. We got Senator Blunt is good. But I guess I'm talking about scrappers, people who will fight. See, I think sometimes some things are worth fighting for. Now, I am optimistic. We've got some new guys coming in to the Senate who I think are scrappy. I mean, they will scrap. They will fight for these things. And so I think that may change the dynamic a little bit in the Senate. But our concern and the members in the House, their concern is this stuff goes over to the Senate from the House, and you just don't have too many senators that want to fight. And so the stuff stays in and it goes to the president. And if the president doesn't veto it, we lose ground when it comes to the sanctity of human life. So they want to get a pledge up front that the president will veto those things. And I think that'll be critical. And that comes back to this border debate. The president really is setting the terms about who's really going to run the country. So I think you've had too many Republicans have let the Democrats, when they have controlled Congress, call a lot of the shots. Now, Ronald Reagan didn't. But you got to be strong. You got to stand up. You got to be willing to, go the distance. And, when John Boehner was the House Speaker, he would come in negotiating with President Obama saying, well, we're not going to shut down the government. I mean, why do you say that up front? You should say, we will shut down the government if you don't negotiate with us. And so the Republicans lost every time. This is a paradigm shift to have a president who says, you know what? Okay, you want to shut down the government? I'll own it because I believe in this. I believe we need border security. I believe in keeping my promise to the American people. I believe it. And guess what? I'm going to stand for it. That's refreshing. I'm telling you, you don't see that very often in this city. And here's the good thing, is that it hasn't happened yet, but I see it starting to take root, that the president, by example, is kind of remaking what it means to be a conservative in Washington. Again, I know all this, the background, all the other stuff, and you say, well, he's not a conservative. He's acting like a conservative now. His policies are conservative. And what he's doing, he's showing conservatives how to stand up and fight for what you believe in. And I think that is huge. All right, folks, out of time for today. Lord willing, we'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you will as well. Until then, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.